Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Guess what? We are in Mississippi, but we happen to be doing some stuff that is actually going to be pulling some planer boards. And that's kind of a northern thing, but we're going to dismiss that fallacy. And happen to have the owner of Church Tackle with us, and Jason Julian. And we also have James Churchill is at the very end. He's holding the table up. He's in charge of everything else, is what I hear. He said, "Just write whatever description I want down." But tell us. Everyone thinks, man, when they think planer boards, Jason, they think walleyes or they think salmon. But it's not anymore, is it?
No. What we're seeing is a lot of the same thing that we're doing for walleye applies directly to the crappie down here. A lot of suspended fish, sometimes over deeper water, and still a great way to catch them is exactly what we're doing for walleye on Lake Erie. So,
and he brought you in to chip in to say he took all the good stuff, but you fish for walleye all the time. But here you are down here on Sardis, Mississippi, one of the big four lakes known for big crappie. Tell us a little bit about your experience. Tell us, how did you end up, you and Les, fishing? Probably should start with that.
So I met Les originally at the Grizzly Jig Show. We became friends, and I was down here fishing a couple of the Crappie Masters tournaments, and we started hanging out down here and at the compound. And I got the chance to go fishing with Les on Arcabutla, actually. And I had never power trolled the way he was doing it with the long rods out the front with three-ounce weights and things. And on the back of the boat, we were long lining, and he had an 8-foot rod, a 12-foot rod, a 16-foot rod, and a 20-foot rod. And they just let a whole bunch of line out, drug them back there. And for me, that just didn't make any sense to me, because even though you have a 20-foot rod, you're still really not that far away from the boat, if that's the idea.
Right.
And I asked Les, well, what about... have you ever thought about planer boards? Because where I live, we pull planer boards. You know, the water's clear and you need to get it away from the boat. Oh, no, you don't have to do that down here. And we had that back and forth a bunch of times over the course of 4 years. And then finally last year down here at this event that we're at right now, the Sore Lipa Mall event, I was here with my boat and ended up going out there and just pulling planer boards, Michael Sanders and I, Les's nephew, and just absolutely put it on them. And of course, last year, Sardis was a lot clearer than it is right now. And the fish were tough, just like they are right now. And we managed to fill the cooler each day pulling boards.
Wow.
And that got their attention. We were able to move Les's power trolling system out to the board using a 3-ounce weight the way he likes to do it. And then he became a believer, because it was basically... I guess I didn't do a good job when I first explained to him the ability to move what he was doing out to a planer board. I just said planer board. I didn't say put a weight on it or anything, you know. So he was just thinking long lining, you know, the way a lot of guys do. They'll use planer boards, but they'll just long line out, and they're small little boards. They won't do what the TX-12 will do, where you can add the weight to them.
Right.
So once that happened, it became a thing. And then, of course, I got a call from John Harrison from Louisiana and John Godwin and Les, guys who troll. They all wanted to know, hey, man, we want to know about these planer boards. And that's how this has all evolved and kind of turned everything upside down.
All right. Tell us, Jason, explain what you have out here. So if you're listening to us on the radio, they're still going to explain it to you. So tell us what you have.
So this is our TX-12. So we have five different boards. This is kind of our middle size. And it's just, it's kind of the perfect size for what they're doing down here for crappie. Okay. So it's still small enough that bites are easily detectable.
Right.
We actually still have the flag system for it, so you can see just the lightest of bites.
Right.
But it's still big enough to handle, you know, like Jim said, that 3-ounce weight for kind of moving that power trolling application out to a planer board. Okay. So it's just kind of falls in that perfect little size for crappie. Kind of not too big, but not too small. Still plenty capable.
Okay. And then farther over, you have some more
So farther over our stern planer.
Okay. Explain what a stern planer actually looks like. An ice cream cone, if you can imagine it, like a waffle ice cream cone. And so that's the shape of it. And then it has a release on one end and has a snap on the other.
Yep.
And so tell us how that works.
What you're able to do there is just like you'd set your depth from the rod tip, right. You know, like for power trolling, let's say, this lets you also set that exact depth by putting the weight, a certain amount of, you know, line behind this stern planer, but then run it a long way behind the boat. So it's not still, it's not anywhere near the boat, it's straight behind the boat, but your bait is exactly the depth that you want it, exactly like you're able to run it off the front or off of a planer board. So as those fish spook around the boat, when they come back together, when things get quiet again, you're able to set that bait depth-wise exactly where you want it, but 150 feet behind the boat. So when they get active again, you have one or two baits coming back through them. Just a really sneaky way to target fish again.
And so what does a bite look like?
You can actually, with the stern planers, there's no resistance. You can watch your rod tip.
Uh-huh.
You can watch it. You're going to see the fish hit it just like you would any other time. Now, the way we run it is if you can get your rod tip up in the air, then close your bail, turn your clicker on, and then back your drag way off. Now, you listen for that bite. That clicker will start to go, and that's a really good way to run them because you don't have to watch your rod tip. You're watching other stuff. There's other stuff to do. And with that rod tip way off the deck of the boat, you're able to run all your other rods in under it and in front of the stern planer. So it's almost like one or two bonus lines that you don't have to constantly watch. They kind of tell you when the fish hits.
Can you put more than two of those out?
We do have some guys that are staggering them front to back. So two kind of side by side, say 15 feet apart, but then also front to back staggering them.
Uh-huh.
But the bear there is if you get a fish on the back one, you have to pull the front one. But we do have guys that are doing that, especially if they're really concentrating on a contour because these ride right in behind the boat. So they'll follow the boat on the contour. So we do have some guys doing it, but not necessarily the most convenient way if a fish hits on the back one.
Right. Go with the weight. So there's a clip-on weight, and you have...
So a snap weight. This is our universal clip. You know, obviously you can't see it on the podcast without the video, but there's a pin in the middle of the jaw.
Okay.
So your line goes behind that pin, so you can't lose it. Easy to squeeze, easy on and easy off to put the weights on and off. So that's our universal clip with a 3-ounce snap weight. We have 1, 2, and 3-ounce weights. We actually have a kit that we sell that has 1, 2s, and 3s, 1-ounce, 2-ounce, and 3-ounce in it. And then lastly, we have our Stingray diving weights.
Right.
Which is an inline. This stays inline, but it's made of lead, but because of the way that it pulls through the water, you actually get more dive effect out of it than if you were just running a weight by itself. So those are in 3 sizes as well.
And those don't have releases?
Correct. Those don't. Yeah, as they get more resistance back here, it kind of flattens them out, takes the resistance out of them. But no resetting, no notch. You don't have to worry about if they're in the notch. If there's a short strike or something else, it's still running where you put it.
Okay. So I got a question for you, but first we got to go to Jim. And Jim, tell us the setup that you're using when you're power trolling and you're using a planer board.
Okay, so I'll run you through 2 setups. I'll run you through a Pico crankbait and a double fin spin rig. So Les likes to run double fin spin rigs when he's power trolling. So you'll have a 5-foot leader at the bottom of it, which is at the end of the 5 feet, you'll have a fin spin. And then 2 feet up from that, you'll have another fin spin. And then you clip this weight on right in front of that 5-foot leader.
Okay.
And then if whatever water column you want to fish, you let this down 15 feet. And typically at 1.5 to 1.7, them double fin spins will hang down about 2 feet. And we've checked this with forward-facing sonar, so that's I'm giving you an accurate assessment of what it is. So if this is down 15 feet, those two baits are going to run about 16 and 17 feet as far as depth goes. So if the fish are at 18 feet or 20 feet, you're right above them when you go over them. So it's very precise. Then you clip this board on, you know, you'd let it down to your 15 feet, clip the board onto your line, and now this is down there, and then the board's pulling the bait.
Right.
Now, with a crankbait, say you put a Pico on there.
We recommend you putting a Pico on there.
Well,
highly recommend.
They're just great crappie crankbaits, so whatever you want to run. I know on Les's boat, we run Picos, so that's just what we run. What I did just today, we ran them without a weight. You can run them with a weight. We ran them without a weight, and the fish were up high, and I only wanted them down about 7 feet deep, so we let out 20 feet of line, and that puts them down 7 feet. And we just ran it directly off the back of the board. So you'd let out 20 feet of line on a line counter reel, clip your board on, and away you go. Yep. Now, if this is down 20 feet, you're probably going to put this down about, if the fish are in 20 feet of water, 20 feet deep, you're probably going to put this down about 18 feet because of the boat swing. The 3 ounce weight, but you're going to let it out. If you let it out to 20 feet, it's going to dive 7 more feet beyond what this is going to be. So you'll let it out to 20 feet, clip your weight on, put it on, let it out your whatever it is, your 20, 18, 15, 18 feet, whatever you decide you're going to run that weight at, then you clip your board on.
Okay.
And then when you get a bite, boom, the flag's activated. This one's hitting funny, but the flag will activate and it'll tell you when you got a fish on it.
All right.
And that's basically the setup.
All right. Jason, here comes the $10 million question. You got multiple planers out there, and the fish bites on the outside one. How are you getting it in? Tangling is always an issue.
Yep. So what we've seen, what Jim actually was, you know, what we were working with last year when I was here is, so your third board, your most outside board goes. Obviously, somebody grabs that. Your first two boards.
Right.
Open the bail with the clicker on, and that lets those boards drop back and bring in that outside board in front of them. And then once that board is in front of them and past them, when you close the bail on these, those will start to run again. You can actually, if you're running all the same leads, you can run those. Now, your second one can become your third. Your first can become your second. When you get the fish off that other board, reset that as your first. But that's a super easy way. The clicker is enough resistance that it keeps them still planing, but lets them fall back, and you can bring that board right in front of them. And we had really good luck doing that.
Yeah, and when we're talking about the clicker, we're talking about a level wind reel.
Right.
Say, I use Daiwa's. Les is running Okuma Convector reels, I believe they are. And there's a clicker on all level wind reels. Bass guys know they've got that clicker on there when you pull the line out. And that's the clicker we're talking about. And spinning rod, it'd be a little different. You just would open the bail and let them slip back. I mean, that's going to be your best way. Yeah, your lines are going to go slack. And if you're fishing close to the bottom, obviously, they're probably going to hit bottom for a minute. So if you're using level wind reels and you set the clicker, you'll avoid those baits hitting bottom.
Okay, Jason.
By keeping pressure on the bait.
All right, just between me and you and no one else. You've had a mess, haven't you, with planer boards before?
I don't know if there's anybody who's fished with planer boards who hasn't at one point in time. It's part of the learning process. But I would also say anybody who's fished has had a mess at some point in time. That's just part of it, you know.
That's right. So you have different color releases here. Tell us about these. See, you got different two releases there.
So the black one here is that standard comes on the board right out of the package.
That's
exactly how it shows up in the package. The yellow one is our mini lockjaw, and that's actually designed for braid. It'll hold braid really well. It's also just very positive locking. I mean, when it snaps over, it's locked on. It's not coming off. It's also very quick to take off, though, almost spring loaded.
Right.
So.
And does that have a pin inside it?
It has a pin in front of it, so the line can never slip past that pin. It can't come out. So,
and does that one?
The black one does not. And the black one, you actually could get to release. It has a Phillips screw to adjust the tension. You could get that one to release if you'd like to. This is not going to release. Lockjaw, it is locked on there.
Something else we should talk about is the flag system, because some boards have flags, some don't. Why would you get flags on them, and how are you going to use those in what situation?
So the flags will just show you even the lightest bites. Even a small fish will generally pull the board out of line a little bit. That's kind of the object, is you line up your boards. So as you're trolling, you can look down them and they're all in a line.
Right.
Therefore, if a fish hits, if one board is out of place just a little bit, you can kind of tell something's on there. But the flag is a much easier way to see. Even a short hit, you can see the flag kind of drop a couple times, even if the board doesn't move too much.
Right.
So that flag system is just a super easy way to know that there's something on there. It'll even show you that you're dragging a weed, you know. So the flag is just a much easier indicator that something's on there.
Okay. And you have different size boards, too. You kind of address that. But you have different size boards in case someone's watching this that isn't fishing for crappie.
Correct. So this is our, we have five boards. This one is our second from the smallest.
Okay.
There's three bigger than this. So we have our walleye board, which obviously very popular for walleye, also popular for salmon as well.
Uh-huh.
Adjustable weight. So that one kind of is really wide ranging from pretty light stuff to really heavy salmon stuff.
Okay.
For the walleye board, our TX-22, still kind of a crossover board. Some walleye stuff, some salmon stuff as well. Then you get to our big board, our TX-44. That was designed for salmon, kind of the heaviest applications.
Right. So, Jim, when you're out fishing on a planer board, what's the biggest crappie you've caught using a planer board? Lures and a planer board. Was it here in Mississippi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So last year on a double fin spin rig, we got a 229 and a 189 on each jig on one rod.
Wow. So that's...
We caught them two at a time.
So that's almost a five-pound crappie if you put them all together.
If you put them both together, yeah.
Just don't tell anyone,
yeah.
I guess.
Crappies. The biggest one I actually caught, I was pre-fishing a crappie masters tournament down on Grenada, and I was live scoping, but I threw one of them out just to drag it around because the fish were really high in the water column, and I only had out like a foot of line with a hair jig on it, and I caught a 256 on that.
Wow.
I heard a noise, and that thing was back there acting like a bobber going under. And it just happened to obviously stop. But I was just looking for a bonus fish, and it worked.
Right.
So
tell us a little bit about, because people are going to use either braid or they're probably not going to use fluorocarbon because that'd be pretty expensive to run, you know, 15 rods and use fluorocarbon.
I actually run fluorocarbon.
You do? All right. Well, look at that. We'll be going with him. But anyway, so... The different lines that are inside there and these releases, like, is there, you talked about one being better than the other. Tell us on the releases, since you're using fluorocarbon, what release are you using, Jim?
Both, but I have migrated over to the lockjaws, and the reason I did that is because I use my boards for both crappie and walleye.
Okay.
And you know, you get up in Michigan in the Great Lakes and you're going to fish in waves, big waves, and I don't have to worry about it getting a premature release on that board with this.
Okay.
So in a premature release, I mean, the board just turns around and is backwards, but then I got to pull the set and reset it. So I'm migrating to that.
Okay. And let's also talk about something. This is unique, probably. Is this patented, the release on the back?
Yes, I believe. It was at one time, I believe. So that's the one thing that kind of sets us apart from everybody else. We were the first ones to have that kind of never fail rear pin. Your line goes behind a spring-loaded pin. So unless you broke your line, your board was never coming off. You never had to go back and find the board, which is kind of a common problem with some planer boards, which... With ours, it's behind that rear pin. The worst it can do is it can slide down to the lure. You're not pulling everything to go back and hunt down a planer board.
Okay. Tell us about a release on the back. Why would you have a release on the back, and why would you just go with the pin release then?
So there could be two different reasons.
Okay.
If you have a flag system, you need that clip on the back because that's how the fish actually pulls the line or pulls the flag down, is because it's in that clip. Or... Some people, if they're releasing boards, they'll put a clip back there as well so the board doesn't slide down the line. It simply just flips backwards.
Okay.
So that'd be kind of the two reasons to put a clip on the back.
All right. Well, that works pretty good, pretty smooth. That takes us to tackle time. Of course, tackle time, we already talked about Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, makes a complete line of hard and soft baits that will catch everything from crappie to walleye to, heck, stripers for sure. But anyway, you can check them out at picolures.com. Of course, if you're pulling, church boards, I recommend, because that's what I do. I pull Pico crankbaits with the church boards. Done it for a long, long time. And so they work actually really good for that. The Fishing Guide Podcast is also sponsored by B&M Poles. Of course, they have a complete line of rods for crappie fishing. They have so many crappie fishing rods, it's insane. You have to check those out. But they also have rods for cat fishing. They got rods for trout fishing, saltwater, you name it. They got a rod that you can go fishing with and catch fish with. So make sure you check their rods out and all their products at B&M Poles. .com. If they want to find out some more, tell us what's the social media site they can go to and the website if they wanted to purchase these.
So churchtackle.com is our website, and we also Church Tackle Co. on YouTube. We have some informational videos on there, how to set lines, kind of some pro tips, and even some on the water videos on YouTube. And everything is linked there on churchtackle.com.
Okay, there you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.